Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. G-Bag Nation. Time now for Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral from America's team, about America's team. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. You get a chance to hear Will McClay with KNC earlier. It was great. Guys did a heck of a job this week broadcasting from Oxnard. We'll be out there on Monday. Said on Blue, they did all the research. Said every young person has to grow. Said he's a talented guy who's going to work his butt off. So not too much concern for the Glenn Stretch Smith report that we talked about last Friday here in the Nation. Corey asked him if he could ask the media to take a course on any one thing to be better at, and his answer was human decency. Mm-hmm. And then he expanded on those thoughts and said empathy, just talking about how all these players are human, and they read this stuff. And I think more than ever, like, players are dealing with the sort of mental health issues around the constant, social media attention that they get. It's hard. I think from a young age, every human realizes that people are talking about you and it bums you out, or it makes you mad or depressed or whatever. But I think that this is just that idea, like, times 100. So I don't blame the players that try to, not do any social media. I think that's probably the thing I would recommend the most. I think having more understanding for what the players is going through, I think the reporters are doing that fairly well. I think that's more of a commentary on the fans that now have unprecedented access to them.
What about the front office side of things? This is where I would be if I was still into it, the front office. I would try and educate reporters then. I would try and if maybe it turns into a weekly meeting with reporters at your facility or whatever, where you sit down and you watch tape and you're trying to explain to them what's going on. I think there's a lot of, I think there would be more empathy for players and what they go through if the media understood, because we're always looking, well, why did that break down? Like, hey, we made a mistake here. The coverage was, but we had a bust. And I think that if you explain to the media why something happened, I think that they would have more sympathy for the players and understand they're like, okay, that was a bust. That's stuff that happens in a game. But there's a lot of times we don't know why. And then we're left with like trying to explain something that, might affect somebody. Like, well, it's like Jason Witten grabbing me that one time and saying, when have I ever run the wrong route?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I was looking at it. And he goes, well, you looked at it the wrong way.
Hmm.
You thought Dez, why didn't you think you didn't think Dez ran, And so if you had somebody that would, like on a weekly basis, like sat down and educated you on, okay, here are the five key plays from a game.
Yeah.
And maybe you could then better understand, like, okay, well, it really wasn't Mozzie Smith's fault on that play,
No, I think that's a great point, because teams are oftentimes trying to play keep away with information, which creates a barrier of entry as far as your knowledge. And there's multiple ways you can get that content. Either you have inside information, like what you're explaining, or I have access and I can give you like the brutal honesty. And which one of these content things am I going to choose? And if you don't have the access to the information, I think there's not much of a choice to make if you want to get eyeballs on your content.
I just think that there's times where, if you're a coach, you're like, we made a bad call here. This was a bad call. We thought we were going to get this look. We didn't get it. Ultimately, we paid the price for it. We didn't help the quarterback here with the read because we thought we were going to get something else. That's where at the media, if you educate the media, I think there would be far, far more sympathy towards players, coaches, and reporting.
And people could say, well, the reporter should educate themselves, but there is a limit to what you can learn just by watching without having a conversation about what the play was.
I was a scout for 13 years. Mm-hmm. I was a scout. There are things that I used to, working in player personnel, that I would have to go ask the coaches about. I go, I think I'm seeing this as a cover one. Well, no, it's not, because here's the invert. And then, you know, and then you're like, oh, okay. I mean, there are things, as you know, there's things in the media, and we're fortunate that we have, you know, a lot of these players and, you know, former general managers and stuff that are able to kind of educate, you know, us along the way. But man, there's not enough of that. There's not enough of educating. And once you can educate the media what you're looking at, maybe they write it in a way, and you're not influencing them. You're just, you're trying to say, hey, this is why they broke down.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I
that's
think
the
a
best
lot,
media.
Yeah. I think the media would really take that. Like, if once a week we got to go and sit down with Will McClay for 2 hours, and we sat down and he explained to us, like, it broke through the game. Here are 10 key plays of the game, and go through those. You would be far better of a reporter.
Yeah.
You'd be able to say, okay. And then as soon as the fan base says, well, man, so and so. No, that's not true. Mm-hmm. That's not true.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and now you have the media being able to kind of defend, and I'm not saying defend all the time, but be able to explain that, well, hey, no, you're blaming this guy, but it's not the case. Mm-hmm. They were in this, and they should have been, you know, they feel like that this was a defense that could have been, could have helped them, but in fact, it didn't. It was the wrong idea.
Elsewhere, well said. And I would love that. I think that was one of the advantages of media before sports talk radio and cable TV, is they often traveled with the players and built relationships.
Right.
And when they got off those planes and off those trains, the game really changed. We go to Jane Slater here on Cowboys Twitter. Says, sources tell me it's a high ankle sprain for Terrence Steele.
Yeah.
I'm told it's not considered a major injury and will only have him sitting out a few days. That would be tremendous if we could get him back out there this weekend. That's the first significant dodge bullet of training camp, because yesterday at this time, all we knew that they'd sent him away to get a more detailed scan.
It's great news. Hopefully they can get him back soon. I mean, those offensive linemen, tough as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, the high ankle sprain, though, you always that one hurts. I mean, you never know how long that one can linger.
Right.
Yeah, and they can be brutal. They can be 6 week injury, sure. But it doesn't sound like this one's that bad. Speaking of injured players, DeMarvian Overshown says yesterday's run up on the field after the Malik Hooker
crazy.
Said it was at about 70% of what he's capable of.
Wow.
What are we thinking with him midseason, Brian?
I'll tell you what, man. They really don't have a timeline on that. Just talking to him, but the way he went running by us when that happened. And we couldn't figure out who it was. And then when he turned around, it's like, damn, that was Overshown. So, I mean, that was a burst. But, yeah, I don't think that – I think as they get further along, maybe by the end of camp, you'll have a much better timeline of where he's at.
It looked pretty close. But, you know, I know when you're coming back from an injury like that, you know, it can look good.
It was really good,
but
straight ahead. Yeah.
How much weight can you handle with cutting and trying to tackle and wrestle
That's
with a dude
the
while you're putting
thing.
Your foot in the ground? Our injury report brought to you by Greystone Roofing. They've got you covered when the hits keep coming. Kenneth Murray and Deron Bland out, but that's baby-related, right?
Correct.
We got an expanding family situation going on.
Poor planning.
There.
Yes.
Yes. I know that feeling well. You know, we were shooting for an early January baby, and didn't quite happen until September, but you take it when you can.
That's a mind of its own sometimes.
Okay, what else do we have here, G-Bag Nation? Dak on the Micah drama has picked up a lot of viral praise. People are saying Dak nailed this. He says, I don't know if there's a correct way to handle it, talking about from the player's perspective. I will say that I think he deserves to get paid, and I think he should get paid. And ultimately, going off the history of what I've seen, he will get paid, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later. Got a fly over there? Dusting the crops over there at the golf course.
I am like, it's almost like I'm on an aircraft carrier in the 1940s.
Dak on Joe Milton says, Joe's a guy that's going to push me to be better each and every day. We encourage that in our room. That's the competition. That's part of it. I told Shoddy that from day one when he came in and we went to throw routes on air outside the building. I came back and told Shoddy, I don't know if I've ever seen someone throw the ball like that. It's impressive. He's not complacent with how well he throws the ball. He's going to push himself to get better. And the knowledge and the situations of the game, I think all that does is push myself, push this offense. I'm super thankful to have a guy like that. You know, I guess I hope that, Joe Milton can be a good backup to have for the rest of Dak's career. I think that's pretty much the ceiling outside of, like, a miracle shot that he just hasn't had experience. But, I mean, you're 24, 25 years old. You've been playing sports for a long time. How poised, how composed are you? And it just, it screams backup quarterback when he's back there at best to me.
Yeah, I mean, he did get benched at Tennessee for Hendon Hooker. So, I mean, there's a reason he was a seventh-round pick, right? I mean, he's super talented. Arm strength is there. But decision-making and certainly kind of understanding what you're seeing and reading a defense, those are all things that he needs to improve on. But I think this is something that, and everybody's kind of probably dug in on their opinion on Dak, but this is the leadership traits that he has, and really he is very secure in himself. There are other quarterbacks, and I know for a fact Jalen Hurts is one, that are like, please don't draft Quinn Ewers, guys. I don't want any competition, because mentally they're too fragile to be able to handle that. And Dak doesn't give a damn.
Joe talked about how different it is here, and I think that is just massive. And hopefully Dak stays healthy enough that he can give you another 7-8 years of this, because Shoddy plus Dak, I think, should give you the best – like culture, you know, player-led leadership in the league, or at least nobody's going to be better than what they're throwing out there. And the environment that is now being created with veteran Dak and a coach that really understands how to, generate that, how to cultivate that, I think it's special stuff we're seeing right now. We're going to come back with Jared Sandler, our Rangers insider, will tell us everything you need to know about Rangers, Braves, and your baseball team coming up next year on The Fan.